Hey everyone out there, welcome to the Addicted Fishing Podcast. This is episode 6. We got a lot of fun stuff to talk about. Cameron's going to be leaving us soon, going to Alaska, aren't you?
Thank God.
Yeah, thank God.
Oh my.
I know, right?
He's leaving right when the summer Chinook season opens, and he'll be in Alaska killing little baby kings while we're here killing monster June.
What's your boat doing?
I'm excited. I'm running this boat. like I said.
Yeah, I think Josh came in today and said he wanted to quit, and I was like, I got a gig free for a month.
All I need to do is just learn the guide wave, and we're good to go.
The guide wave.
Yes,
that's side what waves, you got to like, do. Hand angle.
Yeah.
Hey, bub.
The what's up?
Hey, bub.
No one can see this on the podcast, but it's as nonchalantly as you can just lightly lift your hand. You don't want to waste the effort, but you still want to look cool doing it.
Like, I know who you are.
I know who you are, but
I don't want my clients to know that I know who you are.
Yeah, we know. If you know, you know, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But anyways, you guys, so this is number 6. I'm going to be taking off for Alaska soon. We got sturgeon fishing to talk about. We got some trout fishing in some of the upper lakes to talk about. Just spent my day on the water, taking a bunch of gals kokanee fishing, just absolutely waylaid them. It was a good time. So, but maybe we should start with this sturgeon season that we're kind of right in the middle to. You know, we haven't been able to keep any kind of keeper sturgeon since 2014 in the lower Columbia, and they opened it up.
The lower what?
Lower Columbia.
The lower blah, blah, blah.
The lower Columbia. Shut up, Marlon. But you know, we've had 2 days of fishing.
And I heard there's so been, many.
It's been kind of mixed caught. Results, but we'll talk a little bit about that. You know, a lot of people think, I know when this lower estuary fishery opened up that it was going to be, you know, like, people kind of experience it and see it in August.
Yeah,
it's not August. And in reality, it might be early June, but really, the way the water conditions, the way this year's been going, it's more like May. So there's definitely some isolated pockets. I mean, there's some guys just absolutely whooping on them, and then there's, you know, a lot of boats that aren't even getting a bite.
Weird.
Sound familiar?
I'm not going to say
how'd
anything.
How'd your day go? Why don't you start into it, because you're out there fishing today.
I mean, you've been out there sturgeon fishing more than any of us, right?
Oh, yeah. Slaying them.
How many hours today?
We're out there from daylight till like 1:30.
Oh, lots of bites, right?
Nope, not a single one.
Hmm.
The problem was we should have just went to Astoria and went to the place that we knew instead of trying to learn a new area, which is what we did. We tried to go learn a new area and it didn't pan out.
Not a good idea.
Yeah.
Nope.
Well, there's a lot of guys that have done a lot of scouting and stuff like that, and there are some isolated pockets, and it seems like, you know, some of the stuff we're seeing on Facebook, you know, guys are either just waylaying them or saying, you know, very similar results. Some of the checkers that I was talking to, you know, there was like 12 fish for like 25 boats, you know, 12 individual sturgeon, you know, average 3.2 anglers per boat or whatever. But I mean, there's some fish to be had out there, but it hasn't been just waylaying and real fast too. For the guides that want to go online and complain about boats anchored around them, if you waylay the fish and you post pictures, you will be followed.
You're going to be followed.
So don't be surprised
by all of us,
because that is going to happen. I don't know why you would think it's not. This is an anchor fishery, so yeah, spots can be kind of sacred and secretive. But I don't want to hear it.
You can't really hide down there.
You can't hide down there. No way.
No.
So it's just it's kind of one of those things. Like, you know, it's what I dealt with kind of all the springer season. You know, we had a few good weeks of real good fishing, but we were on anchor, so a lot of people, you know,
you have to remember,
you
know, though,
be kind of quiet about it.
Following the guides, you might not be the best idea in the world. Today we went down, and that was Jerry wanted to go down and just see where all the guides were, and we went down and we found them. There was definitely a line where most of the guides were fishing, and Jerry talked to him, and they only got one fish.
Well, I mean, guides and guide stickers doesn't mean fish, so just for clarification there. But if you're one of the guides that have posted, you know, lots of fish being caught, you know, but don't, at the same token, don't be, oh, well, we got our 4 keepers today. Oh, and then boats anchored all around us, and then, that's going to happen. So, like I said, during our springer season, we made it a real point to, like, post the pictures and post our info and post our stuff and our content that we love posting, we love sharing, because people love seeing it. Love engaging to it, love telling stories about it, but just a little bit after the fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we've been bad this year, though, because
let's post the pictures after the fact, and then we just never post anything.
Yeah, that's true, too. That's true, too, but like I said, I've had trips booked for these first two openers, and so the Saturday trip, these guys decided to turn tail, and we're going to definitely go out and chase sturgeon, but, you know, I'll be honest with you. I haven't done any scouting. We've been too busy still doing salmon and kokanee and stuff. So, yeah, I'm going to be kind of I'm going to be kind of poking around with the binoculars, kind of looking around down there and seeing what we can find. Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, Cam.
It's definitely going to be fun.
Me and Marlon will do the scouting for you again.
Yeah, that worked out so well for the last live feed. Yikes. Yikes. Well, anything cool? I mean, what'd you guys use? I mean, typical anchovy,
sand
shrimp.
Yeah, I mean, we used everything. We used anchovy, sand shrimp, squid, nightcrawler. I mean, we tried it all today. And we moved, I don't know, probably four times trying to find fish. And we saw some fish caught, for sure. And, you know, I saw a couple guys got on there and commented on my post. Because I've been real humble about not catching fish. I mean, I ain't no freaking sturgeon master. I've fished with Lonnie's dad and Lonnie growing up. But all my fishing has been around the woodland area. So I don't know that lower estuary fishery at all, other than fishing when I was really little down there. So it's all kind of a new learning experience for me. But I would think my buddy Jerry over there, that's, you know, like
a veteran,
twice the years older than me, would have this shit dialed by now.
Wow, 60.
60, wow.
64,
yeah. Well, I mean, there's isolated pockets of fish. It's been a little tougher. I mean, I guess it's probably a good thing that the whole fleet, because, I mean, it sounds like there's just been hundreds of boats. Sounds pretty good that the whole fleet's not down there just whaling.
No. So, I mean, and maybe, even the fish checker today, he said there was a lot of boats that came in that had 3-4 fish, and then a lot of boats that came in with nothing.
It's either boom or bust.
Yeah.
Maybe finding the pattern of the pocket.
Yeah, been the pattern.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting. Like I said, it's supposed to go Saturday. Oh, this is, I forget today's date, but either way, there'll be four more openers, you know, starting next this Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, and then after that, I think they're going to reassess and see what they can do. And
it's all, those are all lower river, too.
Yeah, all Wana power lines and down, so.
And it sounds like the tides are going to be a little more favorable later in the week.
Oh, that's good. Good for me, because, like I said, I haven't been out. Perfect. Perfect, perfect. Yeah, we definitely don't want Marlon doing our scouting for us, so we'll definitely go down to Astoria.
Yeah, I'm pro.
Oh, geez. Well, what did you do? You've been playing around some upper reaches.
Just doing some other stuff besides salmon and steelhead. Cause
fly fishing for trout.
I hate salmon fishing right now. So, and steelhead, too. It's kind of early. But, yeah, tiger muskie's been kind of my main priority, my main focus right now. It's been really fun, too. They're badass fish with giant teeth. I think they're like a velociraptor. I mean, they come after your stuff, and I don't know, that's badass getting them out there. There's some huge ones too. Like
me and Cam were talking, it'd be fun to go do a live feed there and just film the follows and stuff.
We went and had over 50 follows.
Just like, checking you out.
Yeah, we only caught one that day, but lost three others. So. And, I mean, we haven't been able to get the big ones to commit, but 41 inches right now is the biggest we've got this year. So, but there's some effing monsters out there, like 55-inch fish. Follow your crap right to the boat.
And you can't keep them unless they're 50, right?
50.
Jerry, why would you want to even keep them?
I would let it go.
Yeah.
I don't know.
When you sat down, it's breaking up the feed.
Has anybody ever eaten them? Have you eaten them?
No.
No.
Okay.
Since I've been fishing for them, it's been 50 inches. You know, when I was younger, it was 40 inches. And then they bumped it up, I don't know how long ago, to 50. And a 50-inch muskie, they're out there. I mean, you'll see them, you know, five to ten each day.
What's your thought process on why so many follows and so few takes? Like pressure, clear water?
I think it's pressure.
A lot of guys fishing for them?
Yeah,
there was a few guys up yesterday fishing for them, I see.
I'm no master. I mean, I've been a 20, 30 times in the last few years, and I usually got at least one or two every trip, but I don't know. I don't consider myself a musky guy, but I like swim baits. I have this cheap, it's like a $7 swim bait from Walmart. You can get it at Walmart or Cabela's or whatever.
Wally World.
I mean, you don't have to go buy a $20 or $30 tuna swim bait or anything like that. Bucktails, too. Big old bucktail spinners. We've got them on those, too. And flies. Just big peacock bass flies. They're all colorful and crap. And I don't know. I took Cody out the other day, and he had 15, 16 follows right to the boat. They were more
on the fly?
Yeah, on the fly. It was badass.
So is he using a steel leader in front of his fly, even with the fly rod, or is he just heavy mono?
40-pound.
40-pound
mono.
Wow.
And the fly, I mean, the fly is like a 7-inch fly, and it's a little trailer hook back there. So we're kind of hoping that it wouldn't saw it in half, because their teeth are freaking gnarly.
Yeah, if you tell like a giant like intruder thing, you know, you might be able to hang it back there on some wire like 4 or 5 inches.
I run steel leader when I'm just casting my swim baits and bucktails, but casting a fly rod with steel leader, it's just I don't know. I don't think you have to.
During our Northwest Anglers Kokanee convention, we actually had Austin Mosier was reeling in a kokanee and had a tiger muskie come up and clamp it. And he came back to the ramp. He's like, Cameron, check this thing out. And here's this little kokanee. And it looked like someone just took like a claw and just scratched right to the side of it. You can tell a That's tiger funny. Muskie just went and clamped him.
That's so awesome. See,
that was the end of April.
Yeah, they're a velociraptor.
Even with how cold the the Northwest was, that was at the end of April, so they were still they were hungry.
Yeah, they're cool. I like them. I don't know, just something different.
They're definitely fun. Mm-hmm. They're definitely fun.
And they're
what about you? So what have you been fishing looking. For?
Like Loney, no real salmon to steelhead. I did do one salmon day with Mr. Marlin here. It was guaranteed limits.
Limits.
Where did we did that too.
No, we just went out after work one night. But no.
Well, yeah, I went out with Ben one night after work and could have got a fish.
Yeah, could have, but he swung for the fence.
Wait, who's on the fence?
What?
This guy.
Benji.
Rod down. Take down. Oh, yeah. Huh. Gone.
No, last weekend I went shad fishing.
Those weren't smallies, Ben.
Wow.
He was in smallie mode. That's exactly what it was.
Swinging for the fences.
Mm-hmm. Last weekend I went shad fishing up at the dam. We caught, I don't even know, I lost count. It was probably 150, 200 shad. It was ridiculous.
That's insane.
It was fun, though. It does get a little old, though. You literally can't sit down. You just stand there, put your rod down.
Yeah, I guess the shad berries. Fishing up there has been just insane.
Yeah, it's nuts. Put your rod down, berries. Put your rod down, berries. Pretty soon you just let it bury and wait a couple minutes and then go grab it.
Hope it just falls off.
Wow. Or set the hook really hard so maybe it'll come off.
Well, I mean, yeah, you need to put some of those things away for halibut bait for next year. I tell you what, man, best halibut bait known.
Some shad?
Oh, yeah.
I got a couple buckets full.
I actually had a couple guys last week that we went out, and they wanted to eat them. They smoked and canned them. You haven't tried eating them yet,
That's
have you?
That's disgusting.
A couple years ago.
Yeah. Was it good?
Lightly smoked them.
No.
And then I canned them. And then I tried them like a little shad pate on some on a cracker.
What? Oh,
and it wasn't horrible
on a cracker,
but it was definitely not something that I would
Jerry eat again. Style.
I gave it to people and told them it was tuna.
That's freaking foul.
Was it better or worse than like store bought canned tuna?
No, store bought canned tuna is way better.
Way better.
It's not very good. It has it's good at first, and then it has kind of a crappy aftertaste.
Just can't get
it. I breaded and floured it, you know, like dipped an egg and did some Pride of the West one time. It was not good.
No.
Like zillions of bones, not good.
I wish we had salmon steelhead runs like that. That'd be amazing.
Oh my god.
Something that tasted good.
Oh, I can. I'm going there. Like in a week. Oh,
I hope it's just the worst run you've ever experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Just kidding.
I hope
I want
not.
It to be epic.
I hope.
Now we got so many like new products and stuff I'm dragging up there to get a good test before our fall Chinook fishery. I'm excited.
And then we got the coho trip coming up too. So that, you know, that's kind of like the shad, right?
Yeah, that too. Yeah, for guys that do participate in our fall Chinook fishery, like Dave Hawkins finally released his 360 flasher release.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And it's bad A and it is on point. And we're about to talk about it a little bit because I think everybody here probably listening to this podcast, watching this live, or in this room has lost fish on a 360 rotating super series flasher.
Yeah.
I've only lost them when they mess up with the net.
No, guaranteed.
Oh, shut up.
It's usually the net.
Thanks, Josh. Jerk. Anyways, the release, what it does is basically when a fish grabs the back of the flasher, there's a release mechanism that sends the flasher basically limp off your line. And so it gets drugged through the water, but it's not getting drugged sideways through the water. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, but there's been a lot of mechanisms that you basically have to like tighten something down or use a rubber tube. There's a human element in there to the release. Mm-hmm. It's just like putting a line in some downrigger clips. Like if you get it in there just a little bit too tight, it won't release. If you get in there too loose, it might release it, but then it might not bury that hook enough. Well, we did a lot of testing with these magnets and we found the exact poundage of the magnets that we need on a good stout 10.5 foot rod and a good big king. And basically as a magnetic release that you don't have a human element of tightening something down or doing something with.
It just pops loose, pops off.
It is the most simplistic, best design I like Jerry's look right now. Jerry looks really excited. They are.
I don't like that look. It's really creepy.
Yeah, they do have them in some of the stores. Hawkins going on Outdoor GPS this Saturday to talk about them, but they are hanging on some of the shelves in the local stores. So
what?
They are out.
I haven't even seen them.
Yep, they're out right now. Huh. But yeah, so that's going to be a pretty hot item. We're going to be running those and filming with them and testing them up north too.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
Speaking of Hawken, we put some of those Baby Simons out and definitely caught some shad on them.
Smashed?
Whooped on them?
Oh, yeah. Smashed them.
Would you say you did better than Dick Knights?
I would say just as good.
Just as good?
Yeah.
Okay. Shad.
Couldn't keep
just
them off.
Just honest opinion. Did you try any spinning glows, little beads?
No.
Little mini spinning glows?
No.
Didn't tug on any salmon, did you?
No. No, we didn't even hook a salmon. I was really depressed. I thought we would.
You could have done triple minis.
Oh, man.
So here I brought my 934 thinking, might hook
a salmon. That's a 932.
Well, whatever. You know what I'm saying. Whatever. You know what I'm saying. It's a meat stick. But anyways, I brought that thinking I would probably hook a Chinook, and didn't happen.
You were fishing with that?
Oh, yeah. That rod still got bent, dude.
Oh, that's awesome.
Still got bent. It was fun. It was a blast.
Yeah, I went out there shad fishing one day. I just fished out of woodland and did pretty good. It was fun. Mm. Not as good as we did when we did the live feed.
So you got no Chinook then?
No Chinook, no. Nope.
Okay.
No, just like 50 shad.
Man.
By far, the most fun for shad fishing is going up to Bonneville Dam and standing on the bank with a spinning rod, like a side drifting rod.
Yeah. You just get whooped. You find like a little 10-year-old Russian kid sitting there. You get an agreement. You can't communicate because you don't know Russian. He doesn't know English. And you just tell him, you take that off the hook.
You can have it.
Yep. And you catch it. He'll run up to you. You just swing it up.
Oh, yeah. I've done that many times.
He rips it off the hook and you go right back. And he's busy all day.
We had a...
No kidding.
Yeah,
you can do that all day long.
No joke. Yeah. We had a guy, pretty much every time.
I have never bank fished there at Bonneville.
Oh, dude, it's so much fun.
It's a great time.
Dude, that's where you need to take Layden.
Yeah, you need to take Layden up there.
You freaking cat. He can cast and then it'll just drift and wham, it's fun.
They hammer it.
They hook it oversized and
then lose all your life.
Oh, yeah. You hook oversized for sure.
They just smash it. It's fun. And yeah, like Lonnie said, you can get somebody to come and take them all off your hook for you.
How many can you catch?
Never.
I mean, I see these stringers in these pictures of like 100.
Catch as many as you want.
We went after work one day.
They fight pretty hard.
Between all of us, we probably hooked 30, 40 fish apiece.
Wow.
It was stupid.
It's fun one time.
Yeah, it is. It's fun about one time a year.
One time a year.
Then it's like, okay.
That's how I feel with where you went this weekend. I feel like fishing for those is like fun like once, and then I'm like over it.
It was fun. It was fun because it was a different tactic
that I've never done before.
It was like learning. And
that's true.
They fight pretty hard.
Yeah.
It was a nice trout. Yeah.
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 What other hot topics we got?
Well, I think there's a summer Chinook opener.
Yeah.
I think on June 16th.
That's the big topic.
You guys
can
all have fun with that. You guys can talk about it. Go ahead.
When do you leave? What day?
I leave pretty soon. So.
Pretty soon. We'll
leave in about a week or two.
What's the Columbia? Is it like 58 degrees right now?
It's like 60 almost.
No, it was 60.
Is it 60?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're wobbler fishing.
Yeah. Okay, it's getting there.
Yeah.
Yep.
What's the visibility? Because I was out there trolling at some of the river mouths last week. Still catching a couple springers.
Plenty of visibility for wobblers.
It looked pretty bad.
It's plenty of visibility for wobblers.
Still like 3 foot. 3 foot or so.
Going to be running the triple setups from the beach.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Bank time.
Oh yeah.
Game time.
Definitely going to be out there. Fishing Addicts Bank Maggot crew.
Definitely with my
fingers on. If it produces the kind of numbers that we put on the bank.
I love it.
And you get people out there that can't normally fish from the boat or just suck at fishing in general. So you kind of take care of all their stuff.
It's going to be epic.
What? Yeah. Oh my god. I know what he just talked about. Yeah, I'm going to continue.
We're not, yeah, I was just saying, and so, but now June 16th, it's going to open up. It's going to be fun time.
And I'm going to be out there, which is a Friday. Why do they keep having these openings on freaking not
weekends?
It's just
the 16th.
Why can't it be a Saturday?
I don't know.
So then I don't have to take another day off of work.
Will next year be on a Saturday?
I don't know. I'm not taking the day off.
I can't remember what it'd be.
I am. I'm going to be out there first light running triple wobblers. Banging fish.
That'll be fun.
And then I'm camping all weekend.
Yep, I will be there for the camping trip.
I am going to miss that.
I'm going to kill as many fish as I can.
I do like that beach
redemption
fishing.
Time.
Yeah, redemption.
We need some steelhead.
Yeah.
Some summer.
Are they
going to
open? They're going to let us kill some steelhead?
I think if they're going to.
What about sockeye?
I don't know.
There was like 140 that went over today.
Ooh, perfect time to get them.
I was in the triple digits.
Yeah. Triple digits.
Time to get
them. Time to get out there.
That's actually a lot for this early.
With the mini.
With the water being that high.
The mini cut plugs, the little coconut ones.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. Out there trolling the big C for
sockeye. Let's just run a triple mini cut plug setup.
Doing it.
There you go.
Doing you it. Run them all like 2 feet from each other and drop them in like 4 feet of water. You're going to have to catch a Chinook. Those Chinook, like you're that's a wobbler right. out there with rocks. I'm like, yeah. You're going to be dropping 400 those in
feet
10.
On the line counter. Yeah,
none of that. You're going to be dropping them in like 10 feet.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
You're going to have a triple killer fish setup.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
That's stupid.
So tying this into the live feed, Max Mudd wants to know, is it super baits or spinners for summer Chinook?
Oh my gosh, it's freaking
everything
this year. Yeah, I mean, they will buy. I mean, let's think about this real fast. I mean,
there's probably so many Springers still in the system, you could probably just fish cut plugs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We could go back to what we were doing in the spring and still catch fish.
You're
going to
be able to run some bait, some prawn. You know, if I mean, honestly, if I was out there, my setup would have 3 prawn spinners on it.
Yeah.
I mean, just because you're going to catch steelhead, summer Chinook, sockeye. Whole 9 yards. I'll bring some coonies out. I should do up some coonies for you before
you
leave.
Should.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
Well, they just got addicted blending them now. There's really nothing to.
That's true.
I'm going to need you to make those for me.
Yeah, they're ready to go.
I'm going to need you to make them like the first batch you gave me 2 years ago.
The one that you spilled in the river?
Yes. The one I freaking dropped in the river. That batch was the best. You did something different to it, and you probably just didn't remember.
Nope.
Yeah, they were different.
Okay.
They burned my hands more, and they smelled a lot stronger.
Secret sauce.
You're such a liar. He keeps all these little secrets from us. You know
I
what?
I do not.
We need to start keeping stuff from him, because I think he ain't. I think he ain't telling us everything.
I'm going to get...
He's still out there, so.
He will. Yeah. He just gets all quiet.
We were talking about that today. We were like, God, it's just so freaking annoying how you're just like so fishy. I freaking hate it.
I'm not a fishy dude. Not this year. Humbling this year.
Yeah, I guess for Springers.
This year has been humbling for everybody.
Humbling for everybody. You're a hero one day and you think, oh, I got it dialed.
I got it dialed.
Game over. Bonneville jacks the water 2 feet the next day, and you're like, uh-oh. No.
Kind of like the sturgeon live feed. What?
Yeah, right? Yeah,
We killed it.
Got him dialed.
That was painful to watch.
No, they raised that water for sure, because when I went back up in there the other day, it was not ripping like that at all. So we would have got fish.
Yeah, but back to this early steelhead, this whole plunking thing. I think there's going to be opportunity for early steelhead. And it's going to be limited, but what they really keep kind of talking about, everything I've read, everything came out of the North of Falcon meetings, which are kind of the big season setting, kind of the starting meetings to kind of start our seasons, like for fall Chinook and stuff. It sounded like the whole emphasis of that whole process was based on summer steelhead and B run late returning summer steelhead, like kind of like your July and your August, and a lot of these fisheries where the steelhead are really congregating at like the cold river mouths.
Yeah,
you know, not just down below Bonneville, but also like up at some of these other rivers between Bonneville and the Dalles and stuff like that, where like a lot of these B run big wild steelhead, especially in August when the temps are up, are really pulling into and trying to chill out, and they get real bitey. Those fisheries are, I think, are gonna what is that they're really kind of focusing on. And because believe it or not, we actually have to have steelhead B-run steelhead impacts available to us for our fall Chinook seasons. So like, you know how Buoy 10, we play the whole like, oh yeah, we can't kill Thule game, you know, we only can handle Thule. It's gonna be like that, because I mean, last year I caught a lot of big B-run steelhead on Pro Trolls, and then the Simon 3.5 spinners.
I mean, not I caught a lot serious. But I caught a few.
I mean, yeah, exactly. But yeah. I mean, I caught a few, you caught a few.
Yeah.
200 boats caught a few.
Yeah,
you're chewing up some fish, and those were like
some bycatch.
14 15 pound big
fish,
wild steelhead that absolutely goat roped you.
I got some big hatchery ones too, actually.
Yeah, I don't think I might have got
that
maybe
one that
a hatchery
Jake,
too?
That kid that works for me, that was a beast.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
It did seem like, though, the ratio was definitely more wild for me.
Well, who cares?
I mean, it was maybe a dozen fish, but it definitely, I released a lot more of them than I kept. You're so what? You love steelhead.
You mean you
though.
Kept some wilds?
I'm no. just so tired of our.
No, I do. I released more than I kept that were clipped.
I'm with Marlon though. I'm
just
tired
cuff me right now.
Of our fisheries.
I am too. It just
we need
sucks.
More fish.
It just sucks for sure. Everything. It just seems like
it
everything's
almost
just getting
out.
Worse and worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, I have to go trout
I know
fishing.
Cameron hates talking doom and gloom, but. I'm going to tell you what, this year has been pretty doom and gloom.
You know what? It is. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, we're still fishing springers. We're still going
to
hopefully
get
a summer next season. Steelhead's going to be down. Everything's cyclical. I mean, I don't know. Back when I started guiding, you know, 10, 13 years ago, it 300,000 fall Chinook. Oh, boy. That's going to be a good run, guys. You know? I mean, like, you know, now this year we're kind of dooming and glooming, and we're supposed to get like what 600,000 to 700,000,
which is still going to be good.
We're
still going
to
spank them.
We're still going to catch fish,
and I don't really care because we're going to Alaska, so whatever.
That's for silvers.
I don't care. Same thing.
Man, we've got a little trip planned to Yakutat at the end of September, and we are going to bring out some big guns and some insane twitching and. Yeah,
that is gonna be
top
fun.
Water.
There is gonna be.
I'm catching a coho on top water.
Yes,
for sure.
That'll be sick.
I am not gonna do anything else.
Lonnie's going
but my spay rods. Period.
Oh God, you're not.
The
my...
dates are to be determined.
Cameron spot. Ooh. Hit us up. Yeah. Message us. We don't allow fly fishermen
to
fish with us.
No fly fishing. I'm bringing nothing but fly rods. Should see all the gear I have packed for the Noosh. I've got like my collection of plugs, and then the rest of it's like my freaking 3 spay rods, my switch rod. Everything's going up. It's all fly. It's all stuff. I don't even care.
If you don't catch one skating, you're not a real fly fisherman.
You and Cody are going to be best friends. Oh my God.
Is Cody going? Can go?
No, he's not.
Darn
going.
It.
He can't get heat. No, he's not going.
Sorry, Cody Lindberg. We need to go.
So I might not be able to go because
did you draw?
I'm going elk hunting.
Did you draw that elk hunt?
No, it's an over the counter, Idaho.
Ooh.
But we don't know the dates yet. So it's somewhere in September. I still might be able to go.
Sometimes you have to make sacrifices.
I'm going elk hunting.
I'm missing
well,
like the
I purposely
last week.
Didn't. We only have 4 people going right now.
Oh, all right.
So
that means you can't go.
I was going to try.
Literally real for 4. Sorry, bro.
I was basically going to try to get at least one more person and then leave that 6th spot open just in case you can go.
Because we need somebody else to row.
I'll know in like 3 weeks.
Well, we need someone else to row and film and everything.
After the Washington draw comes out, then I'll know. Yeah. So it's like the end of the month, I think.
Nice.
Yeah, so, June 26th or something?
Yeah. Because if nobody that I hunt with and that I'm going to Idaho with draws anything good in Washington, then we're going to go.
Oh.
So, and then we'll know the dates for Idaho.
I should have put in with those guys because I will never draw. So, like, I never do. So, dude. Yeah, you'd be going to Idaho. I paid my donation. Did you pay your donation?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, cool. Anyways, that's hunting. We're not talking hunting. Let's talk fishing.
That's true.
Yeah, like it's always the juggle fall, Sam. It's like I used to bow hunt. You know, I used to bow hunt elk for years. Loved it. Was pretty darn good at it. Killed a lot of animals. But now, you know what the guide is? It's September. You just can't do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's you got to make hay when the grass grows, and that's unfortunately when all our Chinook show up. So,
yep.
But yeah, Yakutat will be a good break.
So what else? What else other than salmon? I know Marlon's been doing a little bass fishing.
I've been doing some largemouth fishing. It's been pretty fun chasing those spring largemouth. I haven't gotten any giants this year. I think I anticipated things being later, and they weren't. I think some of the fish have spawned already, and I just didn't realize it, and I missed it.
You don't think a lot of them are just spread thin with high waters? I mean, a lot of the areas we fish are river and tidal and, you know, kind of our jam. But, I mean, you don't think a lot of it could be just the fish were spread out because there's just more habitat?
No,
because
even in spot, like ponds and stuff that we, like small ponds, that normally you'd be
the
able to
find.
The
water level hasn't changed a lot.
No, I mean, it's pretty much the same. Like, one of them I know is the same because it's a farm, like slough, and they pull water out of it, so it never really...
changes.
Yeah,
so,
it's always pretty low. Mm. And when I walked it, I didn't find one spawning bed. So I missed it. I know I missed it.
Weird.
So.
You know what is going off right now, though? Carp. Carp.
At Vancouver?
You need to go carp killing. Yeah. It's so much fun. And Bobby was working down there today and texted me and said they're everywhere spawning. Like, full spawn. And there is a tournament this weekend, but we're going to be...
You know what that means.
We're going to be sturgeon fishing.
If the carp are going nuts in there, that means that the bass are in there, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why?
Water temp.
The water temp.
Just water temperature indicator?
Yep.
So it means already... So why... But...
Vancouver Lake is different because it's not the same as ponds. takes way, way, way longer.
Because it gets flushed. Okay, so your carp, you think, already spawned in the ponds? Like
that? Oh, for sure. Okay, like that pond that we fish?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know how normally we see, like, well, I don't know if you didn't go in there much last year.
No.
No, we went in there like 100 times.
Everywhere. I haven't seen one carp.
Really?
Really?
No. Not one.
Because they were annoying.
Yeah,
not one. They got all flooded out.
Here's a 10-pound bass. Oh,
it's no, no. And then they just screw all the bass.
That's weird. Hmm. Like non-existent.
But yeah, some largemouth fishing's been pretty good. I think a lot of the fish I've been finding have been post-spawn already. So they've been a little bit harder to find out transition water and stuff. But it's still been fun. Still been good.
You know what's been absolutely epic? Like the most insane bite that...
Kokanee?
No. Well, yeah, Kokanee's been pretty good. But bluegill. The bluegill bite has been on point. I have taken my son like 3 times, and I bet we catch 50 fish a go.
That's good. I need to take Haley.
So fun.
That is fun.
I bring my fly rod. Got my little 5-weight.
Dude, me and Lonnie went bluegill fishing one time. We literally went bluegill fishing.
Last summer. Yeah, dude. We caught the crap out of him. It was fun.
It's been awesome.
You still need to take him to the snake. Take him over there and crop the fish. He would love it.
I've seen some pictures from guys over there. Dude, it's like coolers full. Like, I had 2 hours, 180 or something. Uh-huh. It's like, I would not want to fillet. I would be so...
Electric fillet knife, dude. Well, you get fast.
I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say if I had to fillet that many fish, I'd be so drunk. Like, and I don't drink much. But what else are you going to do when you're going to fillet 180
fish? Oh, my God.
I would be...
You're going to teach your son how to fillet some fish.
I just remember with my brother-in-law, we brought all our nieces and nephews down one time and went like nuts on the razor clams. We had like 100, I've got a big family. We had like 150 razor clams. Brother-in-law like had to clean them.
No.
Like I said, I don't drink much. I was really drunk at the end of that door deal.
There's nice
like
people down at the coast that you could pay to clean your razor clams.
Oh my gosh.
Did you guys all go do that? I went and did that razor clam dig.
Yeah, I did.
Once Kyle called me, I did pretty good.
Handy's dad said, quit moving. You're cutting the feet out.
Shouldn't affect that at all.
Jerry's a slacker.
Hey, for those guys listening on the podcast, doing this live too, and our cameraman's, you know. We're hiring at Fishing Addicts.
Camera guy.
Come on, Jerry.
Cell phone holder guy.
Yeah.
Jerry is irreplaceable, guys.
I think we need to just get him a chair. Is there a bench or something for him to sit on?
There's got to be some expensive equipment.
There's a floor.
That's where he sat and it like broke up. It's all right. Oh. It's all right. Back. It's all right. So you're going to be fishing for kings, huh? Over there on the Nush Gap River.
Yeah.
Give us the rundown. What's going to go on? What are you doing?
I'm going to head up there. We're going to set up a camp, and I don't really know because I've never been there before.
I saw some nice new boats.
Yeah, they shipped some new boats, Alaska Kingfishers. They got a couple spots left from July 10th through 14th, I think. What's nice about those dates is the fish are definitely in by then. So you do have some holdover. You have some arrival fish, but there's a lot of fish in the system. And you're talking numbers of the upwards of 100,000 fish for a fairly small river. And, I mean, just in comparison. And, of course, there's tons of chum. And
big fish, too, grayling.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't get – it's not like the Kenai where they, get, the epic big ones, but they do get fish to 40 pounds, a lot of 20 to 40-pound fish. And nice. one thing really exciting about that river versus, like, the Kenai and some of the other heavier regulated rivers is that you can keep fishing – after you retain your fish for the day. So a lot of the places up there, it's a one king a day limit. You can keep like 4 per person per season. But, if you're a non-resident, a guy traveling and doing fishing stuff. But generally after you catch them, some of the rivers, you can't fish anymore. You have to pull the rod, sit there and watch all day. Well, the Nush, you keep fishing. So they get numbers. They just get just insane king numbers per boat.
Like 50 fish a day or?
Yeah, upwards.
You'll probably only get 5.
But... I will only catch 5. But, I'm really excited. I got going back to what I was talking about earlier about a bunch of new products. I mean, we got those releases. We've got some new killer fish patterns. We've got some new jigs. Got some new techniques that we're going to go up there.
We have new killer fish patterns?
Yeah, I do, actually. Mm-hmm. We've got some really cool ones.
I
want to
see.
Yeah, they are.
I want to see them in my tackle box.
Yeah, they're pretty dope, but we'll see how they work. And it'll be real fun because now we're going to get a nice precursor to what's going to really work with some of this new product and these new techniques with our partners before we get our Fall Kings down here. Same thing when we go to Yakutat for silvers. It's kind of the idea. So it's going to be a good one.
Nice.
But yeah, there'll be a run down there. It sounds like it's a bunch of chum. Catch chum till your heads fall off. And it's sounds pretty neat. But we're going to be doing a lot of videos from up there. We're going to be sending a lot of stuff out, a lot of pictures. And so we'll be keeping
people updated. You're going to send us some pictures?
I might send you one, Josh. Yeah. Just one for you, buddy.
Instagram's lagging because of you.
Because I'm not catching, because I don't want to show anybody our fish right now.
I've been having to do a lot of share posts.
Stealing. Yeah, I got some pictures, bro.
All right, cool. Because I feel like I haven't been fishing at all. It just sucks.
Well, last week, they opened up my home river last week, and there was about 3 days. We had the boat on the trailer at 7 o'clock, so I was taking a nap when I should have been sending you pictures.
I know. I heard.
Yeah, that died.
Where?
My home river.
I heard there was some good fishing going on.
I think we killed them
downstream
all.
Downstream of where I was fishing.
And then it just died.
Yeah. I think we killed them all out of there. They opened it up, and it was smash fest for a few days.
Yeah, I heard there was, like, boats limiting, and it was nuts.
Yeah, and then they're...
What does that even mean?
They die.
Boats limiting.
Boats limiting. Yeah. Like, lots of boats
this
limiting.
This year means a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I went in there after it was good. And literally, so we're sitting there, we're back trolling. I'm watching my rod, and I look at my buddy, and I'm like, dude, this is why I hate tributary springers. It's like, one day it's just on fire, and then the next day they just don't want to bite. And literally, as I finished that sentence, my rod buried, and then came back up and nothing.
I was like, it just hammered it.
Maglibs.
Of course.
Back channel
Josh, what were you using, trebles or what?
Single Siwash.
You just broke Lonnie's soul.
I don't know why. It didn't stick, dude. Siwash all day. That's what I run.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was sad.
What is all about? So tell me about that a little bit because I've literally spent, hours. I've got a bunch of killer fish that I've had to rig single Siwash.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing that all. So I'm going to be either cursing Lonnie Brooks
or dude, really I'm telling happy. You, I went from like landing 2 out of every 10 fish to I've lost one fish and it was Marlon's fault. So
you gotta take it as drink. What? You lost the one fish line.
Oh, it wasn't my fault.
What happened?
Are you talking about the one down from below?
The one that ripped 200 feet like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why was that my fault?
You let pressure off the rod twice.
Oh, here we go. No arguments on the podcast. Gosh. What twice. I have noticed with single Siwash though is that so even if you miss a fish, you're going to miss fish. If you do hook a fish, it's more than likely you're going to land it. That's what I have noticed.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I just feel like they stay hooked better.
But I don't think I'll ever run
into trouble.
You
had me going back to trebles all springer season. I didn't really have any problems.
No, I don't. I do the thing where I want to see if that plug works.
If it's a swimmer, it's a swimmer.
Yeah. Yeah. Before I start changing them out. I don't have the option up there. So I've turned like literally 50 brand new killer fish.
You do split ring, swivel, and then pinch the hook onto the swivel?
Swivel, no, just open the eye.
Oh.
Swivel, and then we counterbalance some of the belly hooks, but that's for another discussion.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'm going to have to relearn everything like that because, like I said, we do all treble or two hooks and blah, blah, blah. So
yeah. You have one single?
One single. You can use barbs.
4-0 or 5-0?
4s for my 14s and 5 for my 15s.
Yep.
You can use barbs.
You can use barbs. Single barb.
Perfect.
That's
weird.
Who cares?
That's cool.
That's weird.
Honestly, of course, I like barbs. But one of the guys did tell me, though, he's like, what you'll end up doing is you'll end up pinching them because you'll get so freaking annoyed when you have to
really?
Let them all
What's crazy
go.
Is that they let you catch and release and they also let you use barbs. So what's that tell
what's
you?
What's that tell you? Exactly. Oh, like weird. That. I don't know. Maybe Alaska doesn't have it figured out.
No, but they have 10
I don't know, but maybe like
do.
The Kenai, like maybe, I don't know if the Kenai and some of those it are like the Seelof, maybe they're barbless. I don't know. I've never probably. Fished the Kenai. I've never any.
I'm sure the Kenai is barbless.
Yeah. Well, then you let you use eggs and bait and the whole
thing. I was
thing.
Going.
Yeah, they bobber dog a ton of bait up there, and they just cast stuff up river and just let it drift with big stick leads and big old globs of bait.
Huh.
Wait for your bobber to
I
drain.
I was barbless what fishing shad.
Heck? Yeah.
Barbless fishing shad, you know. That was important.
Were you? That's good.
No, I was, because I was like sick of catching them, and I didn't want to touch them.
Get off.
So then I could just grab them and drop
why
it.
Didn't you just not cast out?
No, dude, you had to have the rod in the water.
Sit there and eat daddy jerky all day,
yeah.
Right?
Take the hook off.
I didn't
off.
Have any daddy jerky with me. I could have just taken the hook off and just watched takedowns.
Yeah.
It was pretty fun.
You'd watch the rod just tap, tap, just yep. all day.
Like, oh, it would just be
would
like,
and then you know what you could do? You could go online and be like, yeah, dude, I was like 35 for like 108 today. It was awesome.
Who says
epic.
That? Never heard that number before.
Like shad pro staff.
Oh, we had at least 100 sturgeon bites today. At least. They just wouldn't commit to it. They'd come up and just like do these little taps.
Little nibble. Yeah. Almost like a bullhead.
Dude, so, yeah. Just kind of like a bullhead, but you could really tell it was a sturgeon because of the way they were biting. You could really tell it was a sturgeon.
Because of the teeth marks?
No. They could come up. So say you're using two sand shrimp, right? And an anchovy. And you have the sand shrimp like stretchy thread. You know it's a sturgeon because they come up and they just get the sand shrimp off there. And not the rest of the fish. So we knew it was sturgeon. I mean, they're the only fish smart enough to do that.
Yeah, clearly.
Them yellow bellies.
I was just
going to
say, those no yellow belly catfish like we caught on the live feed.
Oh, God, I hate fish.
This Jonah caught something.
I literally.
You could have limited where we went last weekend. Every boat limited in our little circle of boats. I mean, the fish were like that big, but you know, and they're playing it in there for like a month.
It was really tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But that's, you know, honestly, that's why like that bluegill fishing was just been
fun.
So fun. Just no.
Just anything don't even have to try. It's just going.
Yeah.
Bluegill, I miss fishing like that.
Epic bluegill.
Where it's just lights out.
Yeah.
We need some more lights out fishing going on.
Yeah, we do.
Well, I don't know. I took a couple gals up to the old Cocani Lake, and it was
I just shared that picture.
It's been such a good
Are they still on top? It's 65
okay, something's
out there?
Going, okay, let's talk about a little bit about that, because it's weird, because the lower rivers, the temperature's 48 degrees, and that's way colder than it usually would be this time of year, coming out the bottom of the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, we'd see like 55, 56, 58 degrees, and we'd be kind of playing that game. But I don't know what's going on with the Kokanee, because the surface temperatures of some of those lakes is pushing 60, 62 degrees, and yet those fish are still like on top, but yet you're marking them 30, 40 feet down, and you're catching them from the surface all the way to 30 feet down. Like all day today, I'd have a lower downrigger rod at 40 feet, catch a fish at the same time we were doubling up on top rods. And so I'm thinking that maybe that lake, you know, we're getting some surface warming, but it might not have turned all the way over, and that maybe just right under the surface, it might be really cold still. Huh. Because there's something else going on there. I mean, like I said, usually this time of year, by the time June, July, it's like, go out, look at your electronics. Okay, you see the layer, and I'm just going to say the layer of fish, because you generally see them down there 30, 40 feet. Drop your downrigger gear to them and just wail on them, and don't even bring out the surface rods. But the surface rods, I guarantee you, we got half our fish on the surface rods today. So I don't know if there's something else going on there, but
I mean, that's good.
Well, I like all the fish in one. See, it's good because you can put more gear out. So it's
for the average guy,
and it is good for like absolutely. The guys just want to go out the surface troll, don't have downriggers. But I kind of personally like them when they're all at one depth, because when they're all at one depth, the whole population is in that layer. And then it's just dropped down. Yeah, you can drop your gear to them.
How many did you get today?
I don't know, 75, 80. I think we're just short.
The population's gone.
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing. But I keep hearing the population's gone, and it's my fault.
But somehow, every time you go up there, you get 75 to 100 fish.
I don't understand it. Well, in either lake, you know, I mean. But what was weird, too, two days ago, we fished the lower lake. We fished Merwin, whatever. And, at 8 o'clock, I had 3 fish. And I was like, oh. I don't know what's going on here.
What were you doing, running Ford Fenders?
You know me. I keep running those Ford Fenders. And no, but with the lake, it was so still. Like, it was greasy slick water, flat. And I was just sitting there going, oh, light. Man. Oh,
why didn't you use your trick?
Please, oh, please. What?
Why didn't you use your trick?
What's my trick?
Put the lines out like 800 feet behind your boat.
You don't think I was doing that? I was desperate. I lines out at like 250.
Oh, my gosh.
Downrigger lines. And I was marking fish down below. The few bites that we'd have, we were still getting bites on top, 62 degree water right on the surface. Kind of weird. But then about 8 o'clock, the wind turned on a little bit, and then it just went nuts. Hmm. And we dumped, I only had 3 customers. We dumped 31 fish in the boat by like 10, and we got some pigs. I mean, fat, giant, healthy kokanee. Like, that was pretty exciting. Actually, I was kind of disappointed I didn't go back there today.
Nice.
But either way, got
disappointed
some pigs.
It was 75 fish. So,
Did you see fish are not as fun.
Did you see that Chinook that came out of Merwin?
Which one?
A big one.
How
it
big?
Was like probably 10 pounds.
That doesn't surprise me. We got about a 7-pounder, I don't know, about a month ago. They're in there, but we're not going to talk about that anymore.
That's so awesome.
Done.
Done.
Why you don't fish? No, they're in there. Who cares?
I'm gonna be in there with cut plug hair and trolling.
Are you?
Yeah.
You're wrong time of year, bro.
No, whatever.
There's a concentration in there, and they're in a certain area at a certain time of year, and you can.
I wonder why we've never targeted.
Weird, them. Another secret.
Yeah, yeah,
another
I know.
Another secret that
probably
cameras never
told
us. If I put
my guide boat in there during that time of year, I will never catch another one again.
We'll take my raft.
Absolutely.
I have a boat.
You do. Anyways, so the kokanee fishing's been really good at Lake Merwin, and it's been fun, and they're nice and fat and healthy, and yeah, we are kind of getting it, and you know, but it is kind of a weird year up there. I will say that this year, with I think that weird depth layer or whatever's going on with this season, it is obviously it's been unseasonably weird.
Yeah,
and I will say that we've had days up there where we've gone one day and like the first set in of like a really high pressure. Like that first nice, sunny, clear day, and that just kills the bite.
Hmm. Yeah.
And you see him on the finder, you see him jumping, it kills the bite, and then you think, oh God, there's no more left. There's no more fit. And then you go out the next day.
Cameron killed them all.
I killed them all again. I've heard that for years.
All anyway, these seminars.
I know, just wail on them. But then you go out the next day on a little more, like more stable weather, and just murder.
I hope you keep killing them so that we can finally get some decent sized kokanee.
Yeah, you know, I mean that's the case. I mean, we definitely don't want Green Peter happening, that's for sure. So yeah. But no, it's been good and I'll probably get up there one more time, I think, before I take off. But it's been fun. We've been fishing a lot of those kokanee cut plugs and those things. One thing also really nice about that is, you know, on some of those days I might be catching less fish, but I swear to you, those kokanee cut plugs catch bigger fish. I don't know what it is. But those little kokanee cut plugs, you get a lot of dinks. Mm-hmm. You know, Merwin has natural production. It has hatchery production. And it draws fish from Yale. There is a recruitment number that come in from Yale. So you get these three sources that are feeding that lake. But you those, and so sometimes you'll get like small Chinook. You'll get a lot of dinker kokanee, like the 1 and 2 year old stuff. Mm-hmm. It seems like with those kokanee cut plugs, they're just maybe it's a little bit bigger lure presentation. And I think that those little dinkers stay off of them.
Yeah.
Because if you're running like the small hoochies and stuff, you'll catch a lot of fish that you have to shake back. And technically, if you land a fish, which is why I didn't kill 80 at Merwin today, because I probably released maybe a half dozen, maybe 6-8 fish. If you catch a fish on bait, technically it does go against your limit.
Yeah.
So generally, like what I do on my trips up there, I don't generally keep a limit of fish. Like, you know, like a couple days ago I got 31. Today I got 70, I think is what we actually had in the bucket, you know, instead of 80. So you technically are not supposed to do that. But with that said, the kokanee cut plug is nice. Is you don't catch dinkers. As many of those dinkers.
Yeah, there was a guy, I don't know, he probably still does it, but he just trolled the straight up mini cut plugs, not the kokanee ones. And all the kokanee I saw him getting were massive.
And I think what it is, it's not the lure. I mean, there's a million kokanee lures that work.
It's the size of it.
It's what it's doing to the corn. It's that shaking it around action, because at the end of the day, that's what they're nipping at. You watch a lot of the underwater video, you never see them come up to the kokanee cut plug and grab the front end of the cut plug. They're always behind it, nipping at that corn. And I'm sure, you know, if we ran some of these cameras down there at the wedding ring, you'd see the same kind of thing. Yeah. They really don't attack the bait. And I think having that bigger bait just keeps those dinks off them. Yeah. So we've been much more efficient. You know, we might not be catching as many, but we're not throwing as many back.
Yeah.
It's really nice. And it's probably, if you think about it, in the long-term effect, that actually might even be better for the lake than anything else. Not going to kill a bunch of the doinkers next year's fish. So, yeah, it's been good. Kokanee cut plugs, we played with some really cool colors up there today that they got coming out. And so, yeah, this fall they're going to have some pretty neat stuff. And
nice.
That's sick.
Even Addix is going to have a couple customs that we're going to be using those kokanee cut plugs for salmon.
It's going to be
these patterns, I'm so stoked. They are going to be legit.
It's weird. I haven't even seen them.
Well, have you guys seen our...
we just got the
have you
prototypes
seen
today.
The numbers on our closed Facebook group? It's just been getting huge.
Gigantic.
I mean, it's almost like 37,000 people in there now.
I'd say it just crossed 36 a few days ago. But
so one thing, you know, we should probably talk about and reiterate, and we should probably go do a little video in the group, but there's just been a lot of assholes in there lately. Just a lot of guys just being jerks. And the reason, you know, people get mad at me and they say, well, why don't you ban this guy? And it's like, a lot of times the guys that are doing it are like
joking.
They're joking.
Yeah.
And they're dudes that are good fishermen. They like fishing acts. They follow us. I think that they have a different sense of humor. So You know, we have to remember, the problem is, and what people fail to remember, is every single angler is at a different stage in where he is in his fishing skills. There's so many people that don't know. Do you know how many people I know that are, Sean, for example, is murder. Sean can catch any salmon or steelhead species there is. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a clue how to catch a bass. He wouldn't even, he's asked me a million times how to take it. And so that's the kind of stuff you have to remember. Just like me, you know, I may be able to go catch a million bass and I'm good at steelhead fishing, but
I can't
find a sturgeon. Yeah. So we just got to be nice. And if you guys are out there listening, one way you could help is, a lot of times these threads, once they start going negative, they instantly just go negative. So if you get in there and just go positive right away with someone, usually it stays pretty positive. Also, if you see people getting completely out of control, just tag one of the admins.
Flag it.
Tag one of the admins, because not enough of that happens. And then you guys get mad like, oh, God, this group's just getting so negative lately.
I had the discussion just even with the boat today with some of the gals. And some of them were intimidated by posting in there. But you got to realize, first off, A, it's the internet. And B, it's growing pains. I mean, we've got 36,000 plus members in the closed group. We've got 60 plus thousand members on the main page. It's just the way that it's going to be.
Don't be intimidated.
You're going to have...
Lonnie says, don't be intimidated, ladies.
You can hit Lonnie, you can PM up. Me, hit and I'll go up. Over your post.
Well, here's one thing I want to say, too. You know, obviously, I help a lot. I try to help a lot of anglers out, and I try to teach them as much as I can. The first second, like, someone sees, like, I'm struggling at anything. I mean, if I post any... I have probably 10 to 15 messages right now in my inbox telling me exactly where to go for sturgeon. That I've gotten in the last hour.
So now I'm going to follow you on Saturday.
Me too.
Yeah. So anyone that's listening, I want to say thanks for that, because I really appreciate it. It's cool that you guys are willing to help.
It's a fellowship.
It is. Exactly. The camaraderie and everything within that group. I mean, it does. Yeah, we've got our new people in there, and we've got our jerks that we've got to weed out. You know, it's funny thing. I was telling the gal about the page today. I looked at the banned list. We've banned 3,700 people out of that group. We've banned that many. Like, that's bigger than most groups. So we are monitoring and we are watching that group and that number. So yeah, believe me, if you're
Every day.
Yeah, you're a tool bag, you're gone.
Delete tons of people every day. But I try to be, because a lot of the guys I know, I see them around and I see them online, or I see them fishing on the rivers and stuff, and I just know them, and I know that they're not genuinely dicks. They're just...
They're joking. A little crass. It is the internet, so we do let it go.
It's the internet.
I don't know if it's the internet.
We do let it go.
It's hard to say it's the internet, because, so like the Facebook platform, like you guys probably don't see as much of it on the Instagram as I do.
I hear Instagram's way
Instagram
better.
Is nothing but positive.
Yeah.
It's weird, and I don't understand it.
You know, I mean,
I've had some people on Instagram that
the percentage
are
not very nice.
The percentage is way different.
Yeah, a couple people on Instagram.
Well, what you also have to remember is the same thing that you start comparing rod numbers, you know, when you talk about why rods break, or why you hear about rods breaking.
Oh, yeah.
Facebook has 1.3 billion people.
Yeah, versus... Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have more...
And we have twice as many members on Facebook as we do followers on
Instagram. Yeah, we might see that grow with the Instagram, too.
Yeah, but by the way, if you don't follow us on Instagram, check us out, at Fishing Addicts Northwest.
Yeah, way to go, Josh. You missed the boat on that one.
That's all right.
Drop the ball. But the positivity in the group's awesome. Yeah,
it's very... we try to post as much information as we can in there. We do, you know, and there's so many anglers in there helping people. A lot. There's a lot of anglers. There's a lot of good anglers in there.
We can't announce, like, you know, the exciting news that maybe we're going to see the transition of addicts here in the next couple months, can we? Okay. There's the teaser.
That's a shot.
There it is.
Shot down.
Yep, there you go.
Because I don't even know what it is.
That's right. It's funny.
Yeah, we got some cool stuff coming, guys. It's coming. We're definitely growing. You might see... You probably have seen less content from us, but don't think that's because we're not out fishing and doing stuff. We just have been doing a lot of stuff in the background. So we got some really cool things coming.
Absolutely.
So, I've just been working.
Yeah, and that's the other thing to it. You know, Lonnie's working full-time. A lot of people don't know, but I have a full-time job. Josh has a full-time job. Ben has a full-time job. Cameron guides full-time. You know, Fishing Addicts isn't all we do. We love to do it, but we have, you know, we got other stuff on the side that we're doing.
Got our day jobs and family. People always think, like, oh, man, you must just be on Facebook all the time. It's like, no, I'm on about 10 minutes a day and I comment. I like a bunch of the kid photos and I'm out. Like, unless I'm getting
kinda
flagged.
That's kind of weird.
Unless I'm getting flagged, yeah, tagged, that or notified. That sounds a little weird. So like,
I like all the kid photos.
I like the kid photos. I like all like them, man. I'd shoot. Catch the little kid, catch a big steelhead. You guys are horrible human beings. I hope you choke.
Guys that are listening, do not message Cameron on Gone Catching Facebook page. He does not look at it. He does not respond. You do realize you can turn those off.
Right? I know. There's an auto respond. When you told me that, I looked at it and I saw, oh, that's cool. There's an auto respond feature. But then I didn't do it. So.
Yeah, auto respond with your phone number.
Yeah, I will do that, Marlon. And I do apologize to anybody listening out there. I saw someone made some comment on the live feed.
Right, like, when we went live. Oh, yeah,
some guy emailed me. I'm like, I answer my emails pretty good. So I think he might have hit me up on Messenger.
And then he was all butthurt. So he's like, this is boring.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, you know, dude, sorry, bro, I'm busy. I'll try.
We should probably also throw out there that, you know, Cameron's not going to be on Instagram either, so... You know, we'll be making him a page more than likely, but
yeah, he won't
don't
be the
message
one
me yet. For guide trips.
Yeah,
It sucks,
guys. It's a big conglomerate over here, so there's gonna be, you know, if you might think you're talking to Cameron, but you really are talking to me.
Oh, I'm just gonna be so rude to people.
No, with that said, the Gone Catching Guide Service page will be deleted off Instagram right now.
That's hilarious.
Well, it's going to start raining. What are you doing this weekend? You're going sturgeon fishing.
I'm
gonna
go sturgeon going to go sturgeon fishing Saturday.
I'm going sturgeon. I think I finally committed.
Sturgeon. Might try muskie Sunday if it's not too crazy.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to sturgeon fish Sunday as well.
Are you? Go practice.
Yeah, we might need it. Or go kill some carp. I don't know. We might do that tournament.
I had two people in my boat from Utah, and they just moved here. They bought a summer home here, and they're just fishing a lot. And I was pretty surprised. They're like, "Oh yeah, is there any place to bowfish carp around here?" And they all that was their jam. I'm like, they're like retired and they just love bowfish and carp. I'm like, I got a guy. You need a message. I have no idea, but I know the lake that he goes to.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. Go around the outsides.
So that sounds like it's the time then.
They're everywhere.
Yeah,
when they're in there, they're freaking everywhere.
So how many people do you think are going to be at the boat ramps this Saturday?
I don't even want to know.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be bad.
What time did you launch today, Marlon?
We launched at, what, 4:45?
Yeah.
How was it at 4:45?
No one. We launched right in.
Monday, really? We launched at 5 at Eastbourne, and it was all the way back to the road, nowhere to park.
Yeah, that's on Monday.
By the way, we're leaving at 2 a.m. on Saturday.
Let's just go down and crash my place on Friday night.
Oof. Yep. Deal.
Done. That's so early.
I think we could do that.
I don't know if Sharon.
I can do that.
Allow me to do that.
Well, what's the point?
You're leaving. You're leaving
at midnight. If you're going to East Basin at 2,
that's true.
So I mean, yeah.
Wait, we're leaving at 2.
If you're launching at two, you're leaving at midnight.
We were going to leave at 2.
So you're launching at 4.
Yeah.
On a Saturday.
That's fine. Even if it takes us an hour to launch, we'll still be in there at night.
I'm going to go sleep down there.
Yeah,
just wake me up when you get there.
I might go launch the night before, just sleep out in the bay.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Like in the marina, I'll just go
with all the sea lions jumping on you, trying to murder you down.
I would pray for one to jump in my boat with me in it. Like, that's self-defense.
Self-defense, your dad.
So with there being that many people down there launching, what's some just quick boat etiquette launching tips?
Don't tie to the dock.
Turn your lights off when you're backing down.
Don't think you own the damn dock.
You don't.
You know, it's going to be a
team. All these guys, dude, they go down there and they think they own the docks.
You know, get off the damn dock. It is a team effort thing. Now, I can understand there's going to be some guys that are going to be by themselves. They're not going to have help. They maybe don't have a client or a person who can back down a trailer. I get it. Been there many times. But there's other places to park besides a couple little tiny docks. So it's going to be a group effort this weekend, I think, on everybody's account. But everyone's excited about it. Thank God. Something to get excited about.
Yeah, and that's what Cody said today, is it's good to see anglers excited about a fishery again. No, Brandon. Brandon Glass said that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's there's a reason why the people are there. You know, I always tell clients that, you know, you show up to the river, there's 200 boats, and hey, sometimes, you know.
Jerry kept telling me that today, all day.
Yep.
All day, Jerry kept saying, there's a reason why people are there. And look, I tag you in that post. That guy was on that flat with a keeper.
We all have our secret little honey holes. We get away from it. But at the end of the day, everyone's launching their boat on Saturday morning because they're excited.
I went down there to humor Jerry, and there were so many freaking people down there. I was like, nah, turn around and left.
full speed.
What?
Full speed. And the guy even said, you mob by me full speed, slow down and fish, Marlon.
That's the problem with your boat now. You'll learn now that your boat's
someone
really
took a picture of me.
I seen it. I seen it. Now that your boat's really recognizable, you'll get messages dropped to you. You're just like, oh, damn it.
Great. That means I'm going to have to start being nicer to people.
You
got to
be nice to people anyways, Marlon. It's
I'll
better,
just
it's better
keep
for
being
you.
A dick to people.
It's not my boat.
It's Marlon's boat.
Just yep. kidding. I'm always nice.
Man, well, I'm looking forward to it.
Oh,
nice
one quick thing before we kind of end this podcast. When we were out fishing today, guys, be careful when you're running up and down river. I hit a log today in my boat, broke my fish finder.
Oh, no.
And there was so many trees and logs floating down the river. It was insane.
Really? There wasn't. There hasn't been too much stuff.
We're in Kathleen.
Yeah,
so.
Maybe just down Salt coming in. Staying down there.
Big, like not just small, like big, giant trees.
So the old 4 o'clock in the morning run out in the dark might not be the best idea.
No.
Yeah. No. Have the spotlight going.
I did put my jetpack on, so I'm good.
Nice. We saw a guy get stuck today out there. He sucked something in his jet. He had to sit
fishing.
There and spin 360s for like an hour to trade
sucks.
In reverses
boat
to
up
blow it out.
On the pilings.
Oh, yeah, and another boat ran
what?
Up on the pilings. He was like on it.
Wow. Oh, no.
Yeah. So anyway, guys,
yeah,
thanks for listening.
Be careful out there.
Good luck out there fishing. If you don't follow us on all of our other platforms, make sure you do. Just Fishing Addicts Northwest on Snapchat, Instagram, all the different social platforms, Facebook. And then make sure you subscribe to this podcast. It's available on iTunes
and
Google Play.
And next Wednesday, I think you guys are going to do some live fishing again. So
we
tried the studio thing. Our connections are kind of tight here in the sound room. So I think next week you guys are going to be doing some live fishing. And then we'll be sending a lot of stuff out from up north.
Cool. Sounds good, guys. We'll see you on the river.
See you on the river.
See ya.